Let's turn in the scriptures to Exodus chapter 35. To hear the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. Exodus 35. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 3 of God's Word. Let's pray to the Lord. Father, thank you again for the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, that you grant us rest in you. Father, we know that there are some among our number who struggle with this day. Pray that you would sanctify all our hearts and give us greater love for it and a joy to come before your throne together as a people, not just individually, but together, as it will be when we enter into glory. Pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see your glory in your Son. Even here, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 35, we're reading verses 1 through 3. These are God's words. Then Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." And that is God's Word. So as we came to the end of chapter 34, we came to an end of another section of the book of Exodus. Since the giving of the covenant back in chapters 19 through 24, we've seen instructions concerning the tabernacle's construction, even since then. And when Moses came down the mountain in chapter 32, you remember, and Israel was committing idolatry with the golden calf. And we saw the fallout as well from that, as well as the mercy and compassion of Yahweh, His relenting before His people and renewing that covenant with His people. But now chapters 35 to the end of the book, that is through chapter 40, we will actually see the construction of the tabernacle. And so many of the things we saw from chapters 25 through 31 about what the tabernacle is, how it is to be constructed, we're going to see it actually being constructed. And so kind of going over those similar themes. And here, the tabernacle, that tabernacle which symbolizes the very presence of the Lord amongst His people. And so the very first thing He addresses, is that which brings us into His presence. The time that He gives us. He sets the time and how we work out our week. And so He gives us the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day is especially that day in which we come into His presence. And that's a theme, the Sabbath. A major theme in the book of Exodus. To rest from our labors. That's the first point, the Sabbath. And here we see the primacy of the Sabbath. We've seen again as this major theme, to rest from our labors, to rest in the Lord through worship. The purpose of Israel's being redeemed, the purpose of our being redeemed is the Sabbath. That's our purpose. That is, to be more clear, the very purpose of the Exodus is to worship the Lord, to glorify the Lord. And so we see in Hebrews, as the rest is talking about, that is Sabbath, which means rest, the Sabbath is talked about. That Sabbath is talked about as an eternal rest, when we'll be worshiping the Lord, we know, forever and ever. That was the whole purpose of our being called unto Him and saved from our sins, to worship Him forever. But here, is Moses. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "But there still remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God today." So there is an eternal rest, an eternal Sabbath. But today there still remains a Sabbath keeping, a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the very purpose of showing what our great purpose is in all of life. That is to worship God. And His preparation as a foreshadowing of eternal life. And so He begins setting up the very corporate worship day, as that day of rest, the Sabbath day. And Yahweh began to do that on the seventh day after creation. A day He rested from all His creating works out of nothing. And here as well for Israel, that day they were especially to come and to worship before the tabernacle, into the courtyard before the tabernacle where the altar was and all those the sacrificial things, the ceremonial law. The Sabbath is also important because we've learned already it is a sign of the covenant. It is a sign of the covenant that was just renewed. If you really want to keep covenant with Yahweh, if you want to be Yahweh's, that is, remain in covenant with Him, relationship with Him, then you'll be a Sabbath keeper. Because what did He say was the opposite? If you did not keep Sabbath, He says, "Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from amongst the people," His people. Cut off, excommunicated. It's a sign, beloved. A sign, the Sabbath is, that you are the Lord's. Take, for example, your friends, your family members, neighbors, co-workers, etc., any who are not Sabbath keepers, who understand that and what the Lord requires here. And they see you on the Sabbath, the Lord's Day as we call it today, going to worship, or they're hearing about you going to worship, or you can't do certain things because you're going to worship. You can't go over and watch the football game together with them. And what do they do? How do they respond to that? Some of you, maybe many of you have, all of you maybe, have had responses to your desire and you wanting to keep the Sabbath holy, and you're coming to worship on the Lord's Day, every Lord's Day. That's happened in relationships of mine and my family, my wife's family. We don't celebrate other days on His day. When it's His day, it's His day. And it's holy, it's set apart. And so if it's my son's birthday, it's not my son's birthday on the Lord's Day. Because that day is set apart as His day. And so we celebrate, obviously, the day before or whenever. But it's His day. And so as we're supposed to be resting in the Lord, not in my son, and celebrating him or anything like that, but celebrating the Lord, when we're doing that on the Lord's day, and your family, your friends, co-workers, etc., you see that they don't get that. Many of them don't. They're confused by it. Why? Why would you do that when we could be doing this other fun thing? Or celebrating this great celebration. And so they're confused by it. And they're thinking in their mind, these people are different. And some may even think, these people are committed to the Lord. But these people are different. That, right there. These people are different. That's exactly what the response should be. Because keeping Sabbath is a sign that you're in covenant with the Lord, that you are His, and He is your God. And it's a sign, because the world doesn't do that. But God's people do. You see, as the Lord has renewed covenant with His people, He's given them a very tangible way to be faithful to this covenant. They struggle, but He's giving them here a very tangible way to be faithful, reminding them of that tangible way. If you're truly committed, if you're truly a committed people to this renewed covenant where I showed you mercy, you repented of your sins, and I showed mercy, then you'll keep Sabbath. You'll keep Sabbath. And look at verse 2, where the command again is simply explained. For 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Well, two words, those two words there, holy and Sabbath, or holy and rest, there's Sabbath and rest there. Sabbath means rest. So you could say a rest of complete rest to the Lord. But those two main words, holy and rest, do really sum up the content and activities of the Sabbath day. And why it shows that you are different. First off, if you're holy, the Sabbath is holy, and only the Sabbath day is a holy day. God declares one day to be holy, and it's the Sabbath day. And so my child's birthday is not a holy day. Some people celebrate Christmas. That's not a holy day. God has not deemed it so. There are many days that people celebrate holidays, July 4th. Thanksgiving is coming soon. Those days are not holy. There's one day that's holy, and that is the Sabbath. What does it mean when the Lord says a day is holy? Holy means, again, to be set apart or distinct or different. And so when you celebrate the Sabbath and people think different, that you're different, you're a different kind of person. What's wrong with you? Or that's weird. That's exactly right. That's supposed to happen. When God rested from His work on the seventh day, He said this day was holy. Why? Because it was different than the other 6 days. It was different than the other 6 days. It was distinct. It was set apart. The Sabbath day is distinguished from all other days. How is it holy? It's a day of rest. The other day is not a day of rest. The Sabbath is a day of rest. No other days are called a day of rest. It's rest from work, certainly. But what is the holy activity of the day supposed to be? Because often we think, if we're just thinking rest, then we're not really thinking of activity. But what is the holy activity of the day supposed to be? In Leviticus 23, verse 3, it gives us one thing, and we've covered other things before, previously, when we've covered the fourth commandment. But Leviticus 23, verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath rest to the Lord in all your dwelling places. And so you spend the day, it says, in a holy convocation. That is, you gather together in a holy assembly. A holy convocation, a gathering of people that is holy. You gather with the saints. You gather with God's people. And Psalm 92 even gives us the pattern of our gathering. Morning and evening. That pattern of morning and evening. The gatherings of worship. Psalm 92, it says, to declare the steadfast love, your steadfast love in the morning, and your faithfulness by night. That's in the context of what it says in the Scriptures, a song on the Sabbath. In Psalm 92. There's to be a holy convocation, a holy gathering, as we have here, morning and evening on the Sabbath, to worship the Lord. But also, it's supposed to be spent in private worship and family worship when we are not here gathered. As we rest our bodies and souls in the Lord in between those holy convocations. There are exceptions to this, of course. We've heard them before, which are commands from the Lord of ministering mercy physically and spiritually. Isaiah 58, you remember. And doing those acts that are absolutely necessary to do on His holy day of rest. And what would those necessary acts be? Eating, drinking, getting ready in the morning, dealing with children, for us, driving cars, traveling to and from worship, those kind of things. But even in that, we can think of how we can minimize those necessary things. Those things are necessary, but we can also think of how we can minimize those things so that more of our time, more of our focus is spent on resting in the Lord. For instance, so that those works are not burdensome. You know, if you're eating, well, you could make this great, huge meal, right? On the Lord's Day. Well, that, if you cook meals, if you have done so before, you would know that takes a lot of work, a lot of energy. Sometimes your feet start to hurt, hands start to hurt because you're making those meals. But here, and we'll look at a passage later that talks about this, but you can prepare meals the day before. Take them out of the fridge, or you put them in the crock pot or whatever, and you heat them up, and they're already ready for you. And so you can minimize those necessary things. You can lay clothes out the night before, so you don't have to worry about, what should I wear this morning? And then you end up being late for worship, right? Because you don't know what you're going to wear. And so, all you have to do then is to put the clothes on. And you can fill up your cars with gas, so you don't have to stop at the gas station. Right? All those things in preparation, which we have principles of those things in the Scriptures to prepare, and we'll see, prepare for the Sabbath. We'll see in a few moments some examples of that. But the principle is worshiping the Lord throughout the day, especially when you gather together morning and evening with God's people in that holy convocation. Perhaps you say concerning the whole of the command for the Sabbath, that seems like it would be really boring. Because, you know, okay, I have morning worship, I have evening worship, but what do I do in the middle of the day? Am I just supposed to sit there and do nothing and just twiddle my thumbs until evening worship? And even for some, even children especially, perhaps it's a boring day. It is if you don't love the Lord. The Sabbath, if you're going through the proper activities, and perhaps you're preparing well, and you're really focused, and you've trained yourself to focus. It takes sometimes when you first become understanding of the fourth commandment, and you're trying to keep it. It takes a little bit to get used to going through those activities of resting in the Lord. But once you get into a pattern of that, you really love the Lord for giving you this great command. And how many in the church today go to worship in the morning or come when they want to and they're quite content? And they say something about their soul. That does say something about their soul. When they're content in even not coming. They're content in, well, I'll just come when I think I need to. Or when my schedule's free enough to come. That says something about their soul, doesn't it? That the world has a hold on them, their schedule, or whatever it might be. It has a hold on them. And that's especially pertinent to our culture here, where we live in Kansas City. There's lots of people who are churchgoers, who said they're Christians, and they go to church, they say that. But then you'll find them at soccer games, because their kids have a soccer game on the Sabbath. And so their schedules are more important, aren't they, than the Lord's Day and the holy convocation that the Lord has set up. Or the other activities that they could take part in. That says something about their souls. And maybe it says something about your soul if you're like that. It's not boring at all, though. Of all the things you could have done, you have the privilege of coming before the very throne of the Lord God Almighty. And you know, for example, you waste that. You say, I don't want that. I don't want the Lord God Almighty. I want to watch my kid play soccer. Or I want to watch TV. And I want to watch the football games on the Lord's Day. As is happening even right now. That's more important. That's more glorious. That's more joyful. That's more entertaining. That's more pleasure than worshiping who? The God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who by the word of His power, He spoke, let there be light, for example, and there was light. As soon as He commanded, as we just sang, it was there. And we would change that. We would take that, push it aside, and we'll take on these worldly things that are vanity or end up being vanity in the end. Yet here you can have the Holy Spirit working in you, hearing the Lord speak to you, that thundering down as Moses and the people of Israel had. Here we hear it from the Word of God, the Scriptures. That's exciting. That's a day that can be filled and should be filled with joy and blessedness. Where all those other days are filled with things that you think might make you blessed, that is, make you happy. But in the end, you will find, it is vanity, as Solomon would find in the book of Ecclesiastes. All those things. This day is a day filled with activity. It ought to be a day filled with activity. You begin in the morning, you eat breakfast perhaps, and you get ready, and you're here for Sabbath school, and then morning worship and a time of fellowship after you get home and you have a late lunch. Perhaps then, like maybe for some of you today because of the lightning last night and the thunder, you take a nap if it's necessary because you need to have that energy for evening worship as well to be able to focus. Or perhaps instead of a nap, you read your Bible or you talk amongst your family about the Lord, about the sermon that you heard. You have a family over, you're being hospitable, a family over, and you have more fellowship with them. And then you're right back here worshiping again the Lord. And more fellowship after worship. And you go home and you eat dinner and you go to bed. That's a day filled with activity. It's a day full of worshiping the Lord and being in the company, the presence of His people. And if you're bored during that day, this day, you're doing something wrong. Or if you don't have anything to do and you're twiddling your thumb, you're doing it wrong. In your heart, or in your lack of activity in the Lord serving Him. Perhaps you don't have anything to do and you start twiddling your thumbs thinking about, what should I do? Pray. Do something. Where you're focused on the Lord, turning to the Lord, or being in fellowship with the Lord's people. And the Lord's people would include those members of your household. And so it's a day filled with activity. Yet people often say, but it's called a day of rest. Right? Like we have our 5-day work week and then we have the weekend, Saturday, and people say Sunday, and that's rest. That's your weekend. And people in the church often treat the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, as that kind of weekend, like people of the world do. And so they do, they kind of relax and don't do very much. But that's what Sabbath means. Again, rest. But what kind of rest? So we talked about holy. What holy means. It's totally different than the world. But what kind of rest are we talking about here in that second word? In our day, people hear the word rest and immediately they latch onto that. They love that word. And they say, it says rest and here's what rest is for me. That's backwards, isn't it? Here's what rest is for me. I wonder if they do that for the other commandments. Right, that's the fourth commandment. Do they do that for the other commandments? Well, here's what murder is for me. And here's what adultery is for me. No, hopefully they would say, the Lord defines what it is. The Lord defines what murder is. The Lord defines what adultery is. The Lord defines what rest is. And He does. And it's the same. As we think of worship, another commandment where people in a church say, that's what worship is for me. And so you find some people that don't even come to church at all and that they don't like the church because of all the hypocrites. And there are hypocrites. We're all hypocrites in many ways. But God has ordained the church. It's His bride. Or as we just investigated, or the contents of the cup. What is the fruit of the vine? Well, here's what the fruit of the vine is to me. And here, this is what rest is for me. But again, the Lord defines all of those. He defines what the rest He's talking about here is. And everything He ever gives a command, He always defines what He means. Maybe not in that specific passage, but in the rest of the Scriptures, which we have the principle, Scripture interprets Scripture. What does God mean when He speaks of rest in the context of the Sabbath? He defines it. Well, and if he defines it, we don't have the power to change that definition or say, well, this is what rest means for me. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. And so you see, God rested. That means then He laid back and took a nap. Because that's how man would take it. Because we're supposed to be doing what God does. He's the example here. He's the example in the fourth commandment. It goes back to creation, just as God made in 6 days the heavens and the earth. And He rested the seventh day. And so we go back to that, Genesis 2, and we just read, He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. Does that mean that He slumbered or slept? Took a nap? Or did His own thing, His own pleasure? Because that's how man would take it. Or God went after creating and took up some entertainment, recreations that we love to talk about in the Reformed Church. No, saying that would be blasphemous, wouldn't it? As it explicitly, it's explicitly contrary to what the Lord has said. God does not slumber or sleep, Psalm 121. He worked 6 days and He finished that creating work. Rest first means finishing work in 6 days. Finishing work in 6 days. You go back to Exodus 31, verse 17. God ceased from His creating work, and it says, and was refreshed. He was refreshed. He rejoiced and delighted in His own work. And so we rest from our work week, and we rest to be refreshed in and delight in the Lord and His works. G.I. Williamson, ought to know him. He says, this term rest does not mean rest in the sense of inactivity as in physical sleep. God rested after 6 days of creation, but He was still actively upholding the world by the word of His power. The contrast then is not between doing something and doing nothing. That is, doing something 6 days and doing nothing on the seventh day. Neither is it a contrast between doing something sinful, 6 days, and doing something holy, seventh day. No. God, as an example, says this rest was not that He ceased working, but He ceased His creating work out of nothing. And so He's 6 days creating all these things out of nothing. He ceased on the seventh day from doing that. And now He continues to uphold and He sustains the creation. He did that on the seventh day. Of course He did. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And so the rest is to finish with a certain type of work. But it is not inactivity. It's being refreshed in Exodus 31. It's being refreshed in and delighting in the worship and work of the Lord. Just as God Himself did. And so then in this rest, how do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Well, we know if we're thinking of the Sabbath and delighting in the Lord, we go to Isaiah 58 because it says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. And so again, if you're going back, if you turn your foot from the Sabbath, you turn from doing your own pleasure, on my holy day. If you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking, so here's the third commandment, talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. If you turn away from doing those things that you always want to do, your pleasure, your entertainment, your recreations, your even how you speak idly and you don't really care how you're speaking. If you turn away from that and you turn to the Lord, then you will delight in the Lord on the Sabbath day. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so we notice the language here in our passage, verse 2. It is a holy day. A Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. What did that say? Rest. Did it just say rest? It doesn't just say rest. It says rest to the Lord. Unto the Lord. There's a guidance there. The Lord is guiding us in what this rest is about. It's just not taking a nap. The Sabbath day, He made the Sabbath day holy, a day of rest. He didn't say that. He says it's a day of rest unto the Lord. It's not a rest from something. It doesn't even say here, it's a resting from your work. Though it is that. But it's a rest positively. It's a rest to the Lord. We are to rest from work, to be dedicated, to be focused on resting to the Lord, to delight in the Lord, focusing our attention on the Lord. Because if we focus our attention on the Lord, what's going to happen? We're going to be blessed. We're going to take joy in Him and all He's done, especially in the gospel, and how He's continued to sustain us as His people. There's many things that we will delight in and take pleasure in and enjoy Him. So as we are glorifying Him on the Sabbath day and focusing on Him, we will enjoy Him. As that first catechism answer says. And so resting unto the Lord, unto His delight, unto our delight. And verse 2, again the second half, where it says, Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Those are sobering words. Very solemn words, serious words. Think of how broadly the penalty applies. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. He could not be more inclusive than that. Any who do any work. He's speaking with great clarity that work, any work, outside of the worship of God, outside those works of necessity and mercy that must be done, any work is to be finished on, that is, by the time the Sabbath day comes. And so you get your works done, finish your work on those 6 days. And you do not work on the seventh day. So Aaron's work in the office, let that be done, let it be finished by the time you get to the Sabbath day. Cleaning your house, various things like that. Let it be done by the time the Sabbath day comes. And you better do it, Israel, he's saying here. He's warning them. He's saying, because whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, will be put to death. Think of the seriousness of this. The strictness that the Lord has given to enforce this commandment. This is why we should not be embarrassed about the Lord's Day or keeping it. We shouldn't be shy about speaking of, concerning it to the church. Not just our congregation, but to the church, broad speaking. This is not something to take lightly with brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a matter of life and death. This also applies outside of the church. You should not be discouraged or embarrassed to talk about the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath before people of the world, because they are under this command too. It's not just for Christians. Because if those of the world don't keep this command, they will, by not keeping this command, they will be judged forever. And so if you find it to be helpful in evangelizing in an instance, you know, do you keep the Sabbath day holy? They'll say, no, why would I do that? See, you're in sin and you need Jesus Christ. Most people use lust or hatred of brother and they go to the Sermon on the Mount. And that's good too. We could also use the Sabbath day. And so we ought to be... As we think of this, this is a matter of life and death. And that's what the Lord says. That's how He defines the importance of the Sabbath day. And so we ought to be apt speaking that warning to those who would be ignorant of this command, or for those, like Hebrews 10 says, forsaking the day and assembling, forsaking the assembling together. That forsaking the Sabbath day leads to forsaking of one's life. And so if it is so serious, as God puts it, and it is, why don't we and why doesn't the church take it more seriously? It's a matter of life and death. Why isn't it more important to the church than to us? And why isn't it discussed more? What will heaven be like for those who don't delight in the Sabbath day? What would heaven be like for those who think the Sabbath day is a boring day? That's the question you ask those, and you're warning those who forsake the Lord's day. If you're a Christian and you believe the gospel, but you don't delight in the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, then why do you think you'll love heaven and delight in the Lord in heaven? Because this is the day that is foreshadowing that day or that eternity. That's what Hebrews 4 is all about. If you're not delighting in the Lord, heaven, we might even say, will be hell for you. But if you're forsaking the Lord's day, and you're continually doing so, then you might not even get to heaven. Because you haven't truly loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, the Sabbath is a foretaste of heaven, where we hear the Lord speak, where we sing with God's people, where we pray with God's people to the Lord. That's heaven. That's a foretaste of heaven. And so what we have is a foretaste of heaven. So if you don't like this, if you're bored here, and there's many different variations of what we do throughout the world, in those churches that are in keeping with God's command, of course, how to worship, even in those who are deficient in how to worship according to God's truth. There's many variations of what it looks like based on culture and other things. But if you're tired of this, if you're bored of this, then why would you love heaven? The Sabbath day is the day we delight especially in the Lord, unto the Lord. And then verse 3 gives us one example of this, of finishing our work before the Sabbath, not working on the Sabbath, so that we may rest in the Lord or unto the Lord. It says in verse 3, you shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. And we might ask the question, why is that the example he picks? You think perhaps why someone of Israel would kindle a fire on the Sabbath? We might think first because of the context of metal smithing or metal working and the fashioning of the golden calf. And so you ought not to do a fire on the Sabbath so that you don't break the second command and false worship. But it's a little more broader than that because of what words are used. It says, you shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath. Or tents where they live. In any of your dwellings. And so it seems more focused on individual families or individual households, as we would put it in their day. Tents. And the fires people would make about making meals, about staying warm. Exodus 16, verse 23 says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till morning. And so what he's saying there, of course, is, before the Lord's day, before the Sabbath day comes, get all your work done, even including bake what you'll bake, boil what you'll boil, and all that's left over, set it aside so that you can partake in it on the Lord's day, the Sabbath day. And this is why we made mention earlier of earlier preparing of meals as best as possible before the Sabbath. And so perhaps saying here we ought not to cook food, but another possibility, verse 3, is on the Sabbath. Another possibility in verse 3 is to keep warm, as we mentioned. Is the Lord saying this cruel thing that they would freeze to death? And especially in that culture, that place, it's kind of different than here, where when it gets dark, of course, it gets cold. But then when the daylight comes out, it gets really warm there. And here, like in the winter, it gets really cold and it stays cold, right? But there it doesn't really do that. It gets warm when the sun comes up. And so really the cold factor really has to do with nighttime. Is the Lord saying this cruel thing for them to freeze to death? Well, let's examine what this is just a little bit. It doesn't say here, notice, do not make a fire. But don't kindle, don't start a fire. It doesn't say you have to put the fire out at night, the night before the Sabbath, or right before the Sabbath starts. It doesn't say that. It seems to perhaps just speaking of preparing the fire. On the Sabbath, don't prepare a fire. You could prepare the fire, a great fire, one that would be burning into the night and through the night on into the Sabbath day. And so it seems to be speaking again here of preparing for the Sabbath. Get all your work done on those 6 days so that you may rest in the Lord or to the Lord on His day. So starting a fire would be a much more difficult task at that time, of course. They didn't have matches. They didn't really have flints instead of, unless they made them themselves. Unlike here, we go to the store and buy it. And so it was a lot harder to make fire at that time. They didn't have all those things that we have. Well, it is this example, verse 3, we see broken in Numbers 15, verse 32, where if one is wise, they're preparing the day before. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of work to prepare a fire for in that day. But in Numbers 15, verse 32, we see what it says there, where somebody breaks this command. It says, while the people of Israel were in the wilderness, and so they're still 40 years in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Well, what is he doing? Gathering sticks. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with the stones, as the Lord commanded Moses. So there's a man working on the Sabbath. He's gathering sticks to kindle a fire. To start a fire. He's gathering the sticks to start a fire. He's breaking the command. Here in Exodus 35, verse 3. Verse 2 and 3. Beloved, the Lord is serious about the Sabbath. Because there's a man breaking covenant with the Lord. That's the sign of the covenant. And he's breaking it. And he's focused on fire. Focused on things he has to do. Is he focused on the Lord? Is he resting on the Lord? No. He's focused on the fire. And you know that anytime we have to do work, even by necessity, sometimes in works of mercy, like the time some of us went over to Phyllis's because she had water damage. You're not really focused on the Lord when you're doing those activities, are you? It's very difficult. And so this is another reason why we are to rest in the Lord. It's not saying that what we did with Phyllis was wrong at her house, because that was physical mercy to her. Otherwise, her home would be damaged for a long time. But he, in Numbers 15, he's gathering these sticks to make a fire. He didn't have to do that. It wasn't necessity. It wasn't a necessity to do so. He should have prepared beforehand. And so he breaks the sign of the covenant. So the Lord is serious about the Sabbath. It's very important. It is enforced with a death penalty. If you lived in Israel's day, would you be put to death? Would you be put to death? Would you have been a breaker of the Sabbath or a Sabbath breaker? Would you receive the death penalty? Are we as serious about the Sabbath as the Lord is? Are we as serious about the Sabbath as the Lord is? At least, are we serious about the Sabbath day, longing to be like the Lord? Maybe we're not as serious, of course, as the Lord. But are we longing to be as serious as the Lord is? And we're trying. And the help of and strength of the Lord Himself. Or are you shocked that the Lord would put to death someone for gathering sticks on the day which is to be distinct from all others and distinct from the world? Perhaps he had not prepared well. What could he have done? He could have gone to his neighbor and asked that he stay with them and eat with them. And we should do that. Maybe we have lost something and we need it on the Sabbath day. Maybe our car broke down. What are we going to do? We're going to ask our neighbor for a ride to worship and a ride home from worship. And when people need those things, you ought to be there, as we ought to be there, for those who are in need on the Sabbath day. to help them be able themselves to keep the Sabbath day holy. So they don't have to go to the store. They don't have to rent a car. They don't have to do any of those things as best possible. But are you shocked that the Lord would put someone to death for breaking Sabbath? How could the Lord do this for just gathering sticks? Death. If that's our response, then we do not understand, do we, who our Lord is. That God is sovereign over everything, including our time. He's laid out our time just so that we won't be slaves to our work. So like Israel were slaves in Egypt, they worked 7 days a week. And they're redeemed, and they're brought, and they're given this great gift, this blessed gift of grace from God, a day of rest in Him, where they don't have to work, and they get to focus on Him. He is sovereign over our time. He's established the commands for our good, for His glory. And this day was established not to be cruel to any. And yet people often treat it, those who are not as understanding of the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment. They treat it, as we talk about it sometimes, they treat it as such harsh, such a God who is so binding upon us and putting this burden upon us. And yet when we think about the language of burden, when you go to Nehemiah and there's those people who are breaking the Sabbath, the Lord through Nehemiah says, that's the burden, those who are working. You're putting the burden on yourself. And you are to be released from that burden. You're no longer slaves to work. Stop working and rest in the Lord. Spend our time not as slaves, but resting and worshiping and delighting in Him. Refreshed in Him, as Exodus 31 would say. Beloved, the Sabbath is the most blessed day of all days. It is more blessed than any wedding. It is more blessed than any other celebration on this earth, because it gives us a foretaste of heaven. A day of life, as we celebrate life through Christ, from His life, death, resurrection, ascension, and His session is seated on the throne as King. He died so that we would have life, and it is the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, that communicates over and over again, this life of which the day we celebrate now is the day He rose from the dead, the first day of the week. We ought to keep it holy, for God made it holy. He set it apart. He made it distinct. He made us distinct from the world. And so we ought to have that sign that we are distinct from the world, the Sabbath. And there's others, baptism, the Lord's Supper, but the Sabbath too. But if we forsake it, we're warned here, and it will cost us our very life. It will cost us our soul. And so, beloved, let us not forsake the weekly holy convocation that we're called to on the Sabbath day, to rest in the Lord, to rest unto the Lord. And what blessedness that is. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for giving us the sign of this covenant, sign of the covenant, the Sabbath, that You bless Your people with a day of rest from our work, so that we ought not to be slaves or make ourselves slaves to our work, but to honor You with our lives and resting in You. And even now there is still remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of God, as we look in as a foreshadow, a foretaste of what glory will be like forever and ever, as we have that eternal Sabbath rest in You, which will be our worshiping with You and in You forever and ever. Father, give us a love and a delight in the Lord's Day. Give us understanding if we're ignorant in any parts of it, or we have questions about what we ought to do or how we can do it. And resting in You, we pray that You would give us wisdom, even perhaps if we don't understand. We thank You that You've given us elders who can help us and guide us in these things. And so we pray that all of us, if we have any questions concerning any of Your commandments, that we would go to the elders and seek for understanding and wisdom in accordance with Your word alone. Because the elders are not the head of the church, but Christ is. And so we go to your word, which is sure and true, and declares your faithfulness. We're thankful that you created all things out of nothing by the word of your power, but on the seventh day, and on the seventh day, you rested from all your creating work. And you were refreshed in it, because you refreshed yourself, in your works. And we pray that we would do the same. Not in our works, but in your works. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.